Right. And so we absolutely have a whole process of how we encourage people to do a launch that gets results. Now with that, you've got your relaunch as another promotion type. You've got your evergreen. And that an evergreen is basically like an ongoing promotion, just like what we were talking about with Levi. Essentially, the essence of that is that you run ads to some type of, usually it's like a webinar. And off the webinar is when you sell the membership. That's the essence of the evergreen. But it's a very scientific process that it requires you to really dial it in, right? Then you've got other quick little promos that are great for getting new members in. Flash promo. This is where if you have a closed marketing model, you're going to have a waitlist page. You build up that waitlist, then you can do these quick little promotions to that waitlist. This is what Emily Jeffords used several weeks ago. She did a quick flash promo. She did two emails, two Instagram lives, and a few social posts. She ended up welcoming like 367 new members into her membership. Another one. You can have your member referral campaign. So as you grow your membership, what's amazing is now you've got this built-in marketing opportunity because you've got all these members who love you, who are making progress, who want to share what they the progress that they're making with others just like them. So it's a great way to create a promotion built around your members sharing the membership with people that they know. You can also do things like a trial, downsell. I typically do not like front-end trials. Front-end trials tend to bring people into the membership that aren't necessarily committed to the membership. And so it can create a lot more frustration and disruption in your community than it can do good. However, I have experimented with trial downsells. And the way that this kind of worked was we would do a standard launch, and then anybody who did not buy, we would then have a trial downsell. And the trial downsell was pretty short. In this case, it was $1 for 3 days. And then after the 3 days, it would roll into the monthly. So a big mistake I see people make is they extend the trial for long, long periods of time. I don't like doing that. Now this is a personal preference, and I'm not going to say that, you know, longer trials don't work in all markets, because they certainly do. And this is where I would encourage you to experiment a little bit. But from my experience, I like shorter trials. Let people come in, let them experience and see the vision for where and how their life will improve as a result of being part of this community and being part of that membership, and then roll right into the regular monthly membership fees. Now, when we did this, we ended up welcoming, the first time we did this with our membership with Michael Hyatt, we ended up welcoming, I this is back of the napkin math, I want to say, if I remember correctly, it was roughly like 600 members came in. And then that translated into 400 monthly members after the trial. So 600 people took us up on the trial, 400 rolled into the regular monthly membership. So it was a pretty decent conversion, right? And again, this is back of the napkin math. This isn't exact, but back of the napkin math, it was roughly 600 people came in, roughly 400 people ended up converting into the monthly membership. You could also run promos like, I call these the comeback promo. And this is promotions that are sent to members who have canceled the membership. And oftentimes we think, well, if they canceled, like they don't want to have anything to do with us anymore. No, that's not always the case. You'll be surprised. when you can design an email campaign that's sent to people who have once canceled the membership, inviting them to come back because of all the things that you've changed, all the new things that you've added, what you'll find is that there will always be a percentage of them that are more than happy to jump back in. And then lastly, your waitlist promo. So a waitlist promo is, again, anybody who didn't sign up during the standard launch, they get added to a waitlist, and then you can go back to that waitlist in between your big promotions and just do a very simple, like 48-hour email campaign, and again, encourage new members to join. You know, Scott Paley and Joan Gary are in the middle of one right now for their nonprofit leadership lab. And the last time they did it, Scott added, I think it was like roughly 150 new members, which was pretty significant, right? Like, this is just from a very simple email campaign that you can roll out. So waitlist promos can be very effective during the times when I scroll back up here, during these in-between times. You know, the big spikes, they come from the big promotions. And the in-between times are when you could do these like little waitlist promos and so forth. Okay, so as you can see, as we go through here, like, look at all the different types of promotions. There's the founding member launch, which obviously has become famous, you know, because of all of you who are using it and crushing it with it. That's one promotion type. Then you've got your standard launch, and typically the standard launch is where you see the big gains. This is where you see the big spikes. We've got this dialed in for membership sites. You got relaunches, you got evergreen campaigns. You've got flash promos and member referral campaigns. You got trial downsells. You got comeback promos and waitlist promos. Oh, I said waitlish there. I should really say waitlist. There we go. My live spelling is getting a little horrendous. I apologize. There we go. Waitlist promo. But there's a lot of different types of promotions, and that's really what I want you to realize, is that, like, with membership sites, the opportunity to create promotions to welcome people in is endless. And one of the most exciting things that we're about to do, I can't wait for everybody who joins us for the Tribe Experience this year, because we're going to be doing something brand new, and that's called the Challenge Promo. And this year, we have an amazing bonus that is included. It's a brand new bonus. And the whole bonus is focused on designing a front-end challenge where you help people make progress in some area of their life in a very short period of time that then rolls right into a membership promotion. And what I can tell you is the mystery person that is helping me teach this has a lot of experience with challenges in a wide variety of different markets. This person has used either free or low-cost challenges, like $5 or $10, and then rolled right into multiple seven-figure launches. And during this bonus that we're going to provide during the Tribe Experience, we're going to walk everybody through how to specifically design a challenge that is specifically going to sell people into a membership. And the psychology of it is pretty straightforward. The psychology of it is this: help them get a win with the challenge that then foreshadows the progress that they could make inside the membership all year long. So here's the thing to realize, is that when you have a challenge, you want to have a challenge that's designed to help people make progress. Because if they experience progress, they're then going to see, oh my gosh, like, what would be possible if I were in this environment all year long? Like, I saw comments from people who had done the founding member launch, and they're like, I can't wait to join the full Tribe Experience because of what I've already experienced, right? Like, the momentum that they've already experienced has created the insight as to, oh my gosh, what would be possible if I were immersed in the full experience. And that's essentially the psychology behind a challenge promo. Very, very powerful. Okay. The next area, the next big component is your retention strategy. Let me just take a quick second and get a pulse. Give me a TU for thumbs up if you are taking furious notes right now. Give me a TU if you're taking furious notes right now. Look at you guys. You guys are on fire. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Wowzers. Okay, this is amazing. You guys are incredible. Thank you for participating. And can you see how the bigger picture of this starts to make sense as we bring all these things together? You can't have one without the other, right? Like, they all play a role. You guys are amazing. This lights me up, seeing you engage, by the way, because this is the only way that we have engagement. Like, I can't see you through the camera. I wish I could. That'd be wild if I could. You guys are amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you for showing up and for participating. It's awesome. Okay, so let's dive into the retention strategy. What am I talking about here? Again, the retention strategy is all about keeping people happy. This is all about helping people make progress, right? So what we want to do is you want to realize that when somebody joins a membership, you guys are amazing, by the way. I'm very grateful when somebody just said, Marsha just said wrist cramp. That is awesome. Well, not that you got a wrist cramp, but like awesome that you're taking so many notes. You guys are amazing. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. Under the retention strategy, there's a few buckets that I love to think about. You got your onboarding strategies. You got your content strategies. You've got your communication strategies. You've got your community strategies. You've got your recognition. And you've got your grand fathered. Oh, my writing's getting terrible. Sorry. Pricing. Okay, so now a common mistake is people think that retention is like one strategy or two strategies. And what I can tell you is that retention is a combination of a whole lot of different little strategies. So under the onboarding bucket, you know, there's a subset of little strategies, things that we can do that enhance the onboarding experience. And that's really important. Because when people join your membership, the experience they have when they first join sets the tone for their experience from that point forward. If they come in and it's like a, you know, a mess, and they don't know where to go, and they don't want to know what to find or what to do, or they're having challenges just even getting into the membership, it's going to set a bad taste in their mouth. But if they have an amazing experience up front, they feel welcomed, it's clear on where they can find things and what they should be focusing on, it changes the entire frame of their experience from that day forward. And there's a whole bunch of things you can do from an onboarding perspective. You can have things like a welcoming committee where your existing members are welcoming new members. You can have an introduction post as an example. And in the introduction post, you want to give people a template for how to say hello to the rest of the community. Like, there's nothing worse than going to meeting new people and then you're asked to introduce yourself, right? Like, that sucks because it's always like, well, hey, I'm Stu and here's why I'm awesome. I'm awesome because of this reason and that reason and this. Nobody likes doing that, right? But what's way easier is if somebody comes into your membership and you say, hey, jump in to the community, introduce yourself by answering these three questions. Immediately, immediately that takes the edge off of having to be this perfect introduction of the awkwardness of talking about who you are. And instead, now they just answer those questions, and the questions create connection. The questions create connection. Because here's what you want. You want your new members to, as quickly as possible, create connection with your existing members. Because the reality of it is that it's not just a connection with you. The real sticky glue is the connection that your people have with each other. You know, I think of our tribe community. Our tribe community is the most amazing community. Why? Because we show up for each other. You know, like I was talking to Christy Hawkins this morning because she sent me a message and she said, Stu, this is an amazing day. You may have seen the post. She made a post in the community. She said, this is an amazing day. Like, I just crossed 1,000 total members in my membership. And she just launched a second membership. So she has one membership that has 900 members. She just launched a second membership last night at 8 p.m. and she's already welcomed more than 100 members in that second membership. So in total, she's got more than 1,000 plus members. And I was going back and forth with her, and I was, you know, celebrating this moment because it's a significant moment, right? And we were talking about how much progress that she has made in the last 2 years. I think I've shared it with you. Like, you know, in her first year, or in her first launch, she welcomed 76 members. Last year, roughly around this time, she was just over 200 members. And now, a year later, she's over 1,000. It's crazy, right? But here's the most amazing part of this. In our tribe community, Christy formed deep friendships with so many others in the community. I'm thinking of Casey Hope and Heidi Easley and Sarah Williams and Tamara Bennett and so many others in this group. And what's happened is all of their memberships have exploded. All of them. Like, Sarah Williams in the last year went from 300 members to more than 2,000. Casey Hope, also over 1,000 members. Heidi Easley's on the cusp of over 1,000 members. Like, they've all significantly grown. Tamara Bennett is over 1,100 members. And I'm sharing this with you because what makes a great community is when we all thrive together. And so as early as possible, you want your new members beginning to develop relationships and connections with your existing members. Because when that happens, it takes pressure off of you. And I will tell you, it makes for a way stickier membership, meaning people are going to stay a lot longer because of those friendships, connections, and relationships. So onboarding, really important. Content. Well, how can you use content to drive retention? Well, I'm going to take you back to one simple idea. Under each of these are buckets. Like, under each of these buckets are a whole bunch of sub-strategies, right? And I can't go into all of them, but like one example of a content strategy is years ago, in my early career, this was 2003, I had just graduated university. You have to understand where I was. I just graduated university. I was shoulder deep in student debt, didn't have very much money whatsoever, right? And I was attending a seminar, and this person made an offer to join a membership, and it was a high-priced membership. Now, at the time, I was a speaker. I would travel around to high schools and colleges, and I would teach students about how to develop their creativity to come up with great ideas for school assignments, you know, job applications, heck, even to win the love of their life, if you will. That's how I won mine. I mean, listen, I totally married up because my wife is like the most amazing human being in the world. And normally there's no way that a guy like me would ever be able to get the interest of her, but somehow I did because I got real creative. So I was passionate about this stuff. So I was teaching kids in high schools and colleges about it. But the problem was that business model, I could only speak so many times a year and schools could only afford so much. So you just multiply the two together and that was my maximum. That was my ceiling on how much that business could make. And so I wanted to get beyond that. And so I was at a seminar. I was learning how to package what it is that I know to be able to sell it in other ways. And this person made an offer to join a membership and it was $300 a month. And I remember at the time thinking like, gosh, that's a lot of money. And what he was offering, He was offering a convenience. Circle back to what we've learned. He was offering extreme convenience. Basically, what he said was, look, one of the ways to earn more as a speaker is to be able to package your information and to sell products. And what I'm going to do each month is I'm going to provide you a product that is done, that you can record, that you have the recording rights to. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. Like, so he was providing essentially books that were generic that we had the recording rights to, like mini courses. So I was like, okay, I'm going to sign up for month number one. Right? By the way, P.S., this is typically what somebody is going to think when joining your membership site, right? Like, okay, I'm going to sign up for 1 month and I'll see how it goes, right? So that's exactly what where my mind was. I'm like, okay, I'm going to sign up for 1 month. I'm going to get the first book and I'm just going to cancel after that. And I'll record that book and I'll sell that book. And so I'm part of the membership and he sends me that first month, the first book, but he over delivers and he sends me the first half of the second book as well. So picture this: month number one, he sends me book number one, and he sends me half of book number two. So in a moment, I'm like, this is amazing. Like I've got the first book, but wait a minute, what's the second book? And the second book, I'm like, ooh, that's good too. But guess what? The only way I can get the full book is if I stay on to month number two. So then he sends me half of book number two in month number two, and guess what he does? He sends me half of book number three. And I was like, oh, I can't have half a book. So I stay on another month, and he sends me half of book number three and half of book number four. And here's what happened. I ended up staying part of that membership for a long time, way longer than I intended to, because he had overlapping content. And so I share this because this is an example of one strategy under the content section of retention strategies that you can use to keep people committed from 1 month to the next, right? This is that overlapping content where you share part of a lesson in 1 month and the second part in another month, right? Or you send a series where it's part one in 1 month, part two in month two, part three in month three, whatever it may be. But there's overlapping content. And the reason this works so well is because it opens a loop. And the only way to close the loop is to stay. So this is a really powerful strategy for keeping people glued to your content, right? From 1 month to the next. And so you're using your content to generate excitement and interest from 1 month to the next. And so this is why developing your content strategy is really important, because it dramatically influences your retention strategy. And so this whole overlapping content, this is one example of what you can do with your content and how you structure that to drive your retention and inside of your membership. And of course, there are other strategies too, like the way in which you communicate. And oh my goodness, the community, like using your community and engaging with your people to have different challenges within the community, or milestones, when people are reaching milestones and celebrations and developing connections and meetups and all these kinds of things. Like I was talking to Tracy Shear the other day, yesterday. She's the one who has a membership site for fitness professionals that are helping women who have pelvic problems after pregnancy, right? And so it's a very niche membership. And she has over 800 members part of this membership. But in the conversation, she was sharing with me, like, one of the things that she does is she has regular meetups. So now, obviously not during this particular time, but normally she will have regular meetups at different places throughout the country with her members. And this is a great way for your people to connect both online and offline. It deepens relationships. There's so many things that you can do from a community standpoint, again, to drive retention. Same with recognition. We talked about that. And we've also talked about grandfather pricing. But underneath all of these, there's a whole bunch of sub strategies to really drive retention. And the thing that I want you to realize is that retention is never going to skyrocket because of any one strategy. It's going to skyrocket because of a combination of strategies that you are utilizing in your membership. And my rule of thumb is, do not try to implement all retention strategies all at once right at the beginning. What I'm most interested in is you getting going. Then once you got members in, I want you to focus on one new retention strategy a month. What's one new thing that you could do each month to help your members make more progress, to increase the happiness, to increase the connection, to increase the community aspect? One, just one. Because what'll happen is your retention will continue to inch up month after month after month. And you'll get to the point, like Tracy Shear, who has unbelievable retention. You know what her retention was this last year? I think I shared this with you before. She has, I'll do it in red. Okay, she has 800 members. And in the last year, she only lost, this is crazy, eight. Oh my gosh. What? Let's just do the math on that. Holy moly. It's ridiculous. That is 1% all year long. So if you divide that by 12 as a back of the napkin math, that's 0.08 members lost per month. That is ridiculous. So what I'm telling you is that in our tribe community, we don't see people stay for a few months and then bail. We see people stay for years because we're locked in on the retention strategy. Okay. Last one I want to share with you is the growth strategy. Now, there are really three main things you're going to focus on here. Your business structure, key metrics, and team. At the end of the day, what this is your strategy to scale. This is when, you know, you welcome a few hundred members and now you want to get to a few thousand, or you've got a few thousand, now you want to get, you know, to several thousand or tens of thousands, right? This is when people like, I've shared Kerry Green, the amazing Kerry Green. I don't know, who here is from Kerry Green's audience? Let me know, put CG in the comments or FEA in the comments. But Kerry Green's amazing. And when I met Kerry, she had, through blood, sweat, and tears, had grown her membership to roughly around 1,100 people. Look at all the Kerry Green and FEA peeps. You guys are in the house. Good to see you. That is awesome. She's an amazing human being. So Kerry, you know, through blood, sweat, and tears, had grown her membership to roughly around 1,000 to 1,100 members, and in a very quick period of time. You know, when we started working together, she made a few tweaks that made a huge difference. By the way, spoiler alert, guess what one of those tweaks was? Any guess? We've already covered it. Spoiler alert. It was this right here. She, at the time, had an open membership model. We switched it to a closed. You guys nailed it. Switched it to a closed. And she went from In a one-year period, she went from 1,000 members to more than 3,000 members. And so, huge change. But you can imagine, like, going from 1,000 members to 3,000 in a short period of time, that changes the dynamics of things, right? And that changes the structure of how you're operating the business, right? And so, it's just like Levi Kajula right now. I mean, his membership is growing like crazy. You know, so right now he, you know, a month and a half ago, he crossed a major milestone of 7,000 members. A couple weeks ago, he shared with us that he'd crossed 9,000 members. He's about to cross 10,000 members, like any day now. Like his site is growing at more than 2,000 members a month right now. It's a totally different structure, right? And so at that point, that's when you have to readjust and you have to look at like, okay, what team do I need to be able to support this? Like what, you know, is the platform that I'm on going to be able to support this? And this is where you really start to dial in on the key metrics. And one of the real reasons that Levi is growing like crazy right now is because he's got dialed in to key metrics and specifically a key marketing campaign that is dialed in. It's taken him months and months and months to really work this and get it dialed in. Now it's dialed in and boom, now he's able to scale this. And that's where things get exciting. So the whole growth strategy, it really boils down to, again, understanding like the dynamics of what matters in terms of membership growth and the key metrics, and also what team do you need to be able to support that? Because again, you can't be rolling up the sleeves and doing everything yourself as the team, as the membership grows. What should happen, by the way, FYI, is that the weight that's on your shoulders should decrease as your membership grows. It should get easier and easier and easier for you because you've got processes in place, right? You are dialed into what matters from a metric standpoint and you're hyper-focused on those things. And you've started to create team to be able to support you in all of that. Okay. A couple things I want to just talk about as we wrap up here. But before I do, let me just check in with you guys. What I want you thinking about so far is your biggest takeaway. Because in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you what your biggest takeaway is. So get ready to enter it into the comments because I'm going to ask you here in just a minute. Okay? Before I do, though, I do want to talk about some things that generally hold people back, okay? So common roadblocks. One, people thinking, I've got a small audience. Okay, if you've got a small audience, in the comments, I want you to write small right now. Okay, in the comments. And when I say a small audience, I'm suggesting less than 1,000. Less than 1,000 people in your audience across your Facebook, your Instagram, your email list. If you have a small audience, let me know. Okay, boom, look at everybody. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys are amazing. Okay, great. This is awesome.